The message today, one of the things that we were experiencing yesterday is we had our men's breakfast yesterday morning, and that was at 8 o'clock, and we had a great breakfast. And after it was over, I'd been talking to Ron earlier in the week, and there was a tree that was right over here. And this tree had fallen, broken off, it had rotted, fallen partway down, so it was completely separated about 10 feet up and had fallen against a tree, but it was just barely still staying on the stand of about 10 feet up of the base of the tree. And one of the things that we were worried about as I was talking with Ron earlier in the week was if that tree fell all the way as kids are running around or if anybody's walking down there, if it happened to swing out towards people. So I wanted to knock it down so it would be safe for everybody. And after men's breakfast, I got out there and I was all excited. And I tend to, when I get focused on something, I tend to think, okay, I'm going to do this. And I tend to not look for other people to help. And so I get out there, and I'm knocking down the bushes, and it's right, you have to go through the blackberry bushes. I lost on a few of the blackberry bushes. But you have to knock down the blackberry bushes and then reach over the edge, because it's right over the edge going out over here. And I had this long stick, and I was trying to push the base of the fallen tree off of what was still there. And as I'm doing it, as I'm pushing, Jim comes and he sees me, first of all, breaking through these, and he's like, what is he doing? And so then he's looking, and I'm thinking, how am I going to, because I have to really stretch because the piece of wood isn't quite long enough. And all of a sudden I feel Jim just kind of grab my belt buckle in the back. And I'm like, what? Okay. And at first I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, this is a good idea because it's a bit of a drop off right there. And still in my mind, I'm thinking, I could probably do this just fine. And then I start to slip. And at one point, as I'm trying to push it forward, I do slip, and it slides off the base of the tree. And I would have gone over had Jim not been there. And so I, whew, okay, thanks, Jim. Hey, great. And finally, we get it to where we push it off, and it falls down and falls away from people. And everyone's safe. It didn't hit any cars. We were thankful. And but one of the things that God keeps reminding me of is so often in life and in our spiritual walks, we tend to have an attitude of independence, don't we? Often we think, I can do this. It's no problem. This is fine. I just need to just try harder. I need to get this. And in the unseen world, in the spiritual battle that's going on, we are not in this alone. And we've not only have a loving Heavenly Father who is with us and who leads us in the battle and who shows us the way, but we've got other brothers and sisters who walk this battle with us. One of the things that I want to be encouraging you to think about, at the end of the service today, we're going to have a few of the elders that are available up here in the front. And we're just going to have a time we've got some oil. And there's that scripture that talks about when people are in need, when they need prayer, have the elders praying, laying on hands, using oil, and pray for the people for healing. And so, guys, if you guys have some physical needs that you want for prayer, if you've got some relational issues that you're working through and you want prayer for, maybe there's some things happening spiritually or emotionally that you're going through, after the service, be thinking during this time, asking God, what is it that you would have me get prayer for? Because, guys, we want to not just have this time be a time of hearing the word, but we want to have it also be a time of doing what the word says. And so just be keeping that idea of what do I need prayer for? What is God putting it on my heart to get prayed for? Let's jump into the word here. Deuteronomy 8. We're going through Deuteronomy 8 in the first four verses. And Deuteronomy, this is a time where it's referring back to what happened in Numbers. And the people of Israel, the Israelites, had been slaves. And they'd been slaves in Egypt for a long time. And then God finally, through Moses, delivers them. And they've come out. And as they're on this journey in the book of Numbers, it's an 11-day journey that they were on. Does anybody know how many years they were on this 11-day journey? 40 years to make an 11-day trip. Not a good use of time in some ways. How could it take 40 years to go what would take just walking a normal day in that time, 11 days? You had a group of people that as they were coming out, it was only a few days into this journey that they started complaining about all the ways that they... Remember, they had been slaves in Egypt. And here God is providing for them food, manna. And he's giving them enough for that day. Now, it's not fancy food. Manna's like a flatbread, but it's a food that they're able to eat and sustain. And it doesn't take long before they start talking about the good old days when they were slaves. And they start grumbling and complaining. And let's look at Deuteronomy 8 here, starting in verse 1. Be careful then to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Guys, God has a plan for his life, but he doesn't just want just obedience, and he doesn't want us just jumping through the hoops. He wants our hearts. And I love what it says here. He's going to test you in order to know what's in your heart. Now, that's not saying that God doesn't know what's in your heart, but that's saying that you can know, that you can grow through those tests and grow in your walk, and what is in your heart will come out. And not only will it come out, but it'll be seen by others. It'll be seen throughout history and the people here. The decisions that they're making are being seen. And that the plan that God has, it requires trusting him. And guys, I don't know about you, but trusting God is difficult. I mean, does anybody else struggle with it? Trusting God in everyday... I know theologically it's a very nice, oh yes, trust God, right? But what about when things don't go as planned? What about when you've got this goal that you've been working to achieve and something happens and you're not able to achieve it? Or what if you've got these hopes and dreams and other people come in and make decisions that you have no control over? What if you're going through life and honoring God and loving him and going to church and enjoying life and you go in for a checkup and all of a sudden everything changes because of what the doctor says? Guys, life is messy. And in everyday real life where the rubber meets the road, it's sometimes hard to trust God. Do you trust him? Do you trust the Lord? One of the things that as I was reading through these first two verses that came to my mind was it reminded me of when Satan took Jesus out to tempt him in the desert at the beginning of his ministry at 30 years old. And in Matthew 4, in verses 3 and 4, it says, "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" You see, Jesus comes and to the Father, he trusts him. And he prays and he trusts him that his father would provide for him. Do you know, do you think Jesus was capable of dealing with those things on his own? I mean, he's Jesus, right? He's Jesus. But what do we see the example of Jesus doing? He goes to the Father and he prays and he trusts that God will provide. He'll provide a way. You know, it provides us an example of how we should pray, of how we should live. When the challenges come, and I promise they will, how do we get to a place in our lives? How do we come before God and trust him in prayer? And the number one thing I think for me is I've got to humble myself and say, I can't change this situation. I can't make this different. And I don't know if God wants this to be different or not, but I'm going to pray for my heart to change. Guys, so often when we pray, God is not looking to change our circumstance. He's looking to change our hearts and for us to come to a place where even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the hardship, my heart and my mind will be changed so that I'll be able to be content where I'm at. I believe we'll be able to experience peace and joy no matter where I'm at in the situation. Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to eat, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So, manna. I have a good friend who's Jewish, and we would eat some bread at his house that was matzah, and it was this bread that was kind of a done in part to kind of remind the people of this manna bread, and so it's a flat bread, and we would eat this bread, and it's really really plain, and I can imagine eating this day after day and thinking, right? You know, so Tessa, my youngest daughter, she's become a vegan. And so that sometimes creates challenges for us during dinner time. And Julie has joined her. Julie is a vegan now who cheats with meat and fish. But she's doing much better. She's eating a lot less meat. And as a result, too, the whole family is eating a lot less meat. But I got to tell you, there are times where I'm thinking, you know, vegetables are a snack. Because I'll eat a whole meal that's prepared sometimes, and I'll be thinking, that was enough food to make me hungry. Oh, my goodness. To you know, because it's really easy to criticize the Israelites here, isn't it? Hey, God's providing for you. Look at all you have, and he's leading you, and how can you not trust him? And then we look at our own lives, and we see the same things, don't we? It's easy to see other people's struggles. Sometimes it's hard to see our own. Exodus 16:3 says this, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. You see, when you start struggling for a while, you start wondering, and you start kind of believing your own press that it's rougher than it is. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. This is what the people of Israel, this is what they were thinking. This is what they were saying. Everything that the Israelites knew, all of what was familiar to them had been removed. Guys, sometimes in times of struggle, we're put in a place where we don't know what's coming next, where we're discouraged and defeated, and we're wondering, how in the world do we get through this? When God allows things to be taken out and taken away, and we find ourselves in a situation where we have to trust God, it's difficult. It's not easy. And when Jesus says we're to pray, he says, give us this day our daily bread, he's talking about a lot more than just bread. He's talking about true provision. And there's a few things that the Bible talks about in these areas of provision that the bread represents. The first one here is from Deuteronomy 8:3. People do not live on bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The Bible is spiritual food. Bread is a symbol for Scripture. Guys, when we're going through the struggles, one of the things that God gives us is the truth of His Word. And if we're spending time during the week in His Word, those challenges that we're facing, we're going to find the answers in His Word. We're going to have it. Have you ever been super thirsty and had that drink, or been really hungry and gotten that bite and it tasted so much better than when you weren't hungry? I'll never forget when we spent 6 years in Uganda. One of the things that would keep going over and over in my mind is the song, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I was thinking of ribs. I love baby back ribs. And 6 years of being away from the baby back ribs, man, I would have dreams of eating baby back ribs. One of the first things we did when we came back was, guess what? I want my baby back. We went and we ate, and oh my goodness, man, the Word of God. Guys, the Word of God, when we feed on it. I was just talking with someone earlier this week, and they were sharing how God's Word, how when they were struggling, and that the fellowship of the saints and the Word of God really helped them through a time where they didn't know how to step forward. And there was that discouragement. And yet, man, God, through His Word and through His people, provided truth in a way and understanding. And peace and joy became part of the experience, and the challenges didn't change. And that's what we have. When the children of Israel were walking into the promised land, God dropped manna from heaven for the people to pick up because they had nothing to eat. He provided for them. And God gave them this bread to teach them that the people need more than bread for their lives. Real life comes from feeding from the Word of God. And we get the joy of being in a country where we can freely look at the Word of God and enjoy it. The bread also represents the necessities of life. Proverbs 14:23 says this, hard work always pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table. I like that. God says, I supply it, you gather it. Guys, in our prayer time, as we come before God, as we're seeking His Word, one of the things that God often asks us to do in prayer is being a part of the answer to our own prayers. So often we think, I'll pray and then I'll just sit back and God will provide. And God's saying, I want you to be a part of the answer to this prayer. I want you to be involved with me in this. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't mean we sit on the couch and wait for God to bring what we need. Bring the job without looking for a job. Bring the money without working hard for it. Hard work always pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table. We've got to work. Even the Israelites had to go out and collect the manna. God didn't provide the manna, it fell right on their plate. He provided it for them, and then they had to go out and get it and bring it in and pick it up off the ground. See, God is involving us in every aspect of the prayer. Work is a part of God's purpose for our lives. It builds character. It puts our needs squarely on the Lord. And then it doesn't allow us to sit back and wait for Him. But man, as we're praying, then God says, now, I want you to go and do. You've been praying about this relationship because it's been off for a long time. You've had unresolved issues in your heart towards that person, and now you've come through prayer, through reading God's word, you've come to a place where God has said you need to forgive this person. And now I want you to go out, and maybe God is saying, I want you to do what you can do. You can't make things right with the other person, but you can do what you can do. And you can go to them and say, you know, share with them. And sometimes, guys, it's a little scary to let people know we've forgiven them. Because what if their response is, forgive me? Right? But I do believe there's healing and there's an opportunity for growth. When we forgive those who've hurt us, we've experienced the blessing. And there's something that happens in that prayer time of, I want that blessing. I was really held back emotionally because of my anger towards this person. I've forgiven them. I've experienced forgiveness from God for them. And now my heart is good and right. Guess where their heart is probably at? It's not right yet. And so what if God gives us the opportunity to reach in and share with them? Guys, I promise you, this is not easy. And I also promise you there's going to be times where you forgive somebody and you share it with them and they look at you and they say, oh, really? Oh, you forgive me. And you'll have to forgive them again. But what an opportunity for us to share the blessing of forgiveness. For us to share that and to go. And maybe the person's already passed away. But if we pray for forgiveness, we experience that blessing ourselves. And then we can share that blessing with others. Another thing is by testimony. Sharing what God has done for us. As it is such an amazing thing when you experience what it's like personally to be used by God in healing and in seeing God move in ways. It's amazing. And today we've got a special testimony from one of our new elders. And guys, I'm excited about this time because Aaron is a police officer and he's spends his time out of school. Aaron, come on up. Let's welcome Aaron up. And Aaron's going to share with us a testimony about what God's been doing over there. So,
amen. I didn't know where I was going to start with the testimony, but just in relation to the word on this morning, you know, and when we testify, we always like to testify, you know, what God has done for me. But I want the focus to be on God because it's all about the Lord, okay? And as we learn that God is sovereign, amen, He knows the end from the beginning. And just like it says in our pamphlets today, in the program, it says, you know, He already knows, and God has a plan. So, though we have many plans in our hearts, God's purpose is going to prevail. And I, you know, in life, you know, I just kind of set out to just doing my own thing, and before I started doing the job I'm doing now, I was pretty gifted in doing hair. And, you know, God, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to open up a barber school and do some other things. But to make a long story short, you know, I remember getting up one morning and saying, God, you know, I don't know what's going to go on today, but I'm putting my hand in your hand and you just lead me. And before I knew it, that the Lord was directing me in a different path. And He provided the desire and the passion to go a different route. And to the point I didn't recognize and understand what was going on. And I was like, kind of like at the time I was going to another church and I asked the pastor, I said, "This, I have a strong passion about something that's overwhelming. And I don't even know where it came from, but I think the Lord is leading me down a different path." And putting it all together, God gave me desire to be with the youth. And I wasn't looking to be with the youth, but God gave me that desire to work with the youth. And so now on the police department, after I learned the ropes, do a lot of things, I got sought out to be, want to work in community outreach with the Youth Violence Prevention Unit. And so now I'm working in schools. And it's like the Lord is working it out. It's like, okay. And I'm asking those around me, including my own supervisor, what's my job description? What's my, and it's like everything was kind of like just kind of given out there. But it caused me the whole time. It was like the Lord, you can see where he provided and stepped in, where he wanted me to direct my focus only on him. And so I had to get, like I say, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God was providing for me to look to him for direction. And he started leading in that way. And so that's why I find myself, right now in schools where you can't bring Christ, you can't talk about the word, but the Lord has a way of doing things, so I look to him. And even here at CBF, I wasn't looking to go down there with the youth, but I got sought out to say, hey, you want to work with the youth, and here I find myself in this position as even being an elder here at CBF, and as, again, it's the Lord's doing. And so it's really being obedient to his calling. And then I find blessing in that. Even though naturally, I'll probably run far and fast the other way, but I just learned, it's good to be obedient before the Lord. And so I thank God that he does things to test our hearts, to put us in situations to try us, and then trusting in him, So it's the reality for me to be up here to testify before you that we all find ourselves in certain positions because we're all on this journey together. Amen. So my testimony hopefully is encouraging you that you might find yourself in a situation or a position to say, which way for me, which direction is God calling me, I'm not knowing, I just say trust the Lord, seek the Lord, And so, we later on, I'm probably jumping a little bit ahead of before pastor, but we're going to have time where we have prayer, And so things that you might, want to challenge, ask for prayer, also challenge you to also get on your knees before the Lord and wrestle with God about that. Amen? Amen.
I tell you, at the last elders meeting, guys, I was so encouraged. We've got 4 new elders who have come in. And we have had 6 before, so we've got 10. And hearing the ideas and the passion and the... It was so encouraging. Guys, right now is a key time for our church. Because God is on the move. He's working in the hearts of the leadership of the people here. We're getting more and more ideas of how to connect with our community, how to serve the people in this community. And guys, we live in a time where people don't come into the church usually unless they're coming with friends. But most people don't come if they don't already know Jesus. Or if they have a history of going to church. We live in a culture now where we, the church, the people of God, we have to go into community to be with them, to share life with them, to spend time with them, and to encourage those who don't know the Lord yet. And I tell you, to hear from Aaron, time and again, different stories of where he's connecting with these young people, to where these kids are struggling at school, and to have somebody like Aaron who loves God, who can help, and not only help from what he's doing, but he can be praying with them and praying for them and answering questions. And yes, he can't lead the conversation and touch things about God, but he can answer questions. and just seeing how God provides opportunities for him to bring truth and the truth of the Word of God into the lives and the kids at the school, it's a real blessing. God provides what we need. And the first two areas, the bread represents God's Word. The bread represents the necessities of life. The bread also represents God's family. And guys, we're called to do it together. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, talks a little bit in the beginning, and of the scripture we've got here, we'll go halfway through it. It says, "And when we break off pieces of bread from the loaf to eat together, this shows that we are sharing together the benefits of the body." We're to do this as we come, as the bread is once again an example of what we share as God's family. Bread is a metaphor for the family of God here. You need God's people in your life. Whether or not you have physical needs or a physical family, God wants us to be a part of the family of God. And so maybe you've moved away from your family. Guess what? We've got family as the church here. The church is God's family, and we get to do this together. We get to go through the challenges together. And there was a special time as we were praying for at the elders' meeting at the end. We prayed, got to lay hands on Ron. And just pray for him. And as the different elders were praying, one of the things that I was just, it was like I was standing and I was a part of it, and then part of me was kind of noticing this thing from almost afar. And it was these men of God standing over a brother and just loving on him and trusting God with our brother. Trusting God with her brother, who's struggling with the cancer, and so as we pray, God moves and God gives us a peace and a joy, and we get to go through it together. Bread also represents salvation. Give us this day our daily bread. Every time we eat the bread, you know, on the first Sunday of the month, we have the Lord's table, and it's a time where we come and we remember what Jesus did as he died on the cross for our sins. And as we take the bread and eat it, we remember God's body that's broken for us and the sacrifice that he made. And whatever you need, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, God will give you what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Guys, God is so involved in our lives that he cares about the big things and the small things. We don't have to just come to God with these doozies. It's being in his presence and being led by him. This daily bread that we get is from the Lord. I want to encourage us. Let's be quick. As it says at the beginning of Deuteronomy 8:1, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. The reason we're called to follow is because when the tests come, God's going to know what's in our hearts. And here's the beautiful thing, guys. We get to see what's in our hearts too. Because as the challenges come, we get to die to self. We get to experience God's healing in our lives in new ways. Give us this day our daily bread. I wanted to have a time here where we have the elders. Can I have the elders who are here come on up to the front? And Scott, could you just kind of pick lightly on the guitar? And we've got some of our guys downstairs. But guys, here's some of our elders today, and we need prayer. We need your prayers, as God has called us to help lead this church family. There's challenges that we're going through, challenges that we're facing, personal challenges, challenges at work. And we, as your elders, as your leaders, we need your prayers. But today we want to focus on praying for your guys' needs. And just for about 8-10 minutes, we wanted to take this time to come and have you guys come forward. Be praying where you're sitting. Be praying that God would hear the prayers. And as God leads you to come forward, guys, whether it's emotional, relational, physical, spiritual, regardless of what God is doing in your life, the challenge that you're facing, or maybe a loved one is facing. Guys, can we have maybe you two over on this side a little bit, and you two over here? And as you guys come up, please spend some time. Let's spend some time together in prayer. And as you're waiting to come up, or man, just be in prayer yourselves. So let's turn to God in prayer. I'll say a prayer here, and then after I finish, please feel free to come up and be prayed for. Heavenly Father, Lord, all the things that are going on, the busyness of life, Lord, we ask that we would set that aside right now. Father, we need you. We need you in our lives. We need your truth. Father, we thank you that you are a God who knows us and loves us, that sees exactly where we're at, what we're struggling with. You know the sins that we're struggling with. You know our weakness, and yet you come and minister to us right where we're at. And we are so thankful that you are a God who is long-suffering, that you are a God who truly loves your children. Father, bless this time of prayer. Lord, I pray it would be open and real before you. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Thank you for including us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Oh, it's good to pray, isn't it? I love that we get to be family. I love that we get to be on this journey together with each other. And Lord, I just thank God. I just thank the Lord that we've got a church family that's real with each other. That we don't feel like we have to look the right way or do the right things, or that on the outside that we have to present ourselves as, oh, I've got it all figured out, when we don't. As I love the fact that we get to share real life, and that this, guys, you guys have been such an example to me of what it means to receive others in the love of Christ. To see the way you guys love each other and serve each other has been such an incredible blessing to be a part of. Because it's the family of God, isn't it? It's the family being the family. And rather than just pretending everything's okay, to be able to come to each other and share the struggles. Number one is we realize we're not alone in it, right? And we have a loving God who meets us right like our brother and sister is. And as we're real with each other, those relationships grow. Our trust in God grows. And man, we realize we're not alone in this challenge. And so just thank you for the blessing you are over and over again. I love praying. We need to do that more. I was wondering, man, are people going to come and praise God? Anytime we get to live out praying for each other, it's not just being hearers of the word, but being doers of the word. Just a final thought as we get ready to close of, guys, God knows what's going on with us. He knows our fears. He knows our concerns. And I know we didn't have time for everybody to come and be prayed for. Please, take some time. Take some time with each other. Guys, if you're married, man, what an opportunity to grow and be praying with brothers that can help you in growing as becoming men of God who can love your wives and love your children well. Guys, if you're single, man, getting together and praying and seeing how God ministers to the realities of life and the other relationships in your life that are important and work and how to honor God in living in a way that brings glory to God as a single man. Wives, having those times of Bible study, the prayer time, and just praying with other women, sharing what's going on, God moving in and bringing blessing and healing. And single ladies, as you pray with other women and just seeing God heal relationships and bring blessing and healing things of the past that used to be identity in a negative way. And now with freedom in Christ, man, you see the healing take place. God's good. And he's moving. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for this time. Use it for your glory. Lord, we thank you for all the prayers that went up, Lord. You know, we trust you with them. You know all of the prayers, Lord. You know the ones that weren't spoken. We lift those up to you now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who hears and responds. Sometimes you respond and you lead us into a way we're hoping to go. Other times you desire for our hearts to change, and other times you love us enough to lead us in a new direction. So, Father, we pray right now that however you choose to love and answer these prayers, Lord, that we would be receiving and hearing from you and listening to you. Lord, thank you that you are not a candy machine that we put our order in and hit B12 and get the answer. You're God, we're not. Lord, we desire to respond to you. So we desire to hear from you. Thank you that you speak to us. Bless all these prayers, Lord. Bless this family, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful family. Make us a blessing to many in this community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.